Monday, 3rd of April 2000. Last week, we cut short our class because we arrived at a place in the Holy Quran which needs a little bit of in-depth understanding. And the verse that we were in, verse number 106, ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسها نأتي بخير منها أو مثلها ألم تعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير. We are talking of abrogation. Abrogation, nasakh literally means cancellation and or replacement. Now the element of cancellation is contained within the word replacement. So when you replace something, you remove the original and put in its place a new one, right? That is the literal meaning of this. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا, whatever we abrogate, that's the English word used, right? Or we make you forget. The verse, nunsiha, is from the word nisyan, right, which means to forget. Of any verse, ayah is translated as a verse. Now you will see the difference in tafsir as you go on. We replace it with either a better one or a similar one. Na'ati bi khayrin minha, or a similar one, aw mithliha. Now, the question is there abrogation and cancellation in the Quran or not? Ayatullah Tabatabai is of the opinion that the word ayah is not referring to a verse. It is referring to any sign. Ayah literally means a sign. And he says anything is a sign. It can be prophets, that every prophet, the end of the prophet's era is replaced by either a better one or a similar one. And therefore he takes it on that ground. Okay, we come up with a better one or a similar one. That is Ayatullah Tabatabai. Ayatullah Khuyr rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, in his al-bayan fi tafsir al-Qur'an, has studied extensively the meaning of abrogation, and he believes that when Allah talks about ayah, he talks about ayah from the Quran. You've got to understand one thing. As you remember, Ayatullah Khuy and Ayatullah Tabatabai, Allama Tabatabai, both of them started writing the tafsirs in and around the same time. And when Ayatullah Khuy realized that Allama Tabatabai was doing the job of tafsir, Ayatullah Khuy actually stopped with the end of one book only. He didn't continue because he thought Allama Tabatabai was doing the honors, so he let him do the honors, right? Now, the reason for both these great scholars' reaction was Tafsir al-Manar. Tafsir al-Manar was written by a Sunni scholar from Egypt. And in that, he has attacked the Shias. And he has actually quoted that the Shias believe this, 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 without giving references. Illogical, inconclusive, irrational arguments. And therefore, both of these, because it was becoming quite popular, Tafsir al-Manar, amongst the Sunni, and because of so much against the Shias, both the scholars at the same time thought that no, it is about time we replied this Tafsir al-Manar. And you will find Ayatullah Khuy rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi referring to Tafsir al-Manar in replying when he replies to certain arguments in this book, Al-Bayan, and so does Allama Tabatabai in Tafsir al-Mizan. Many times he refers to general scholars, but in many instances he has mentioned Tafsir al-Manar specifically and says Tafsir al-Manar, Sahib Tafsir al-Manar has written this, 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 and he refutes them. The Sunni general belief is that there is abrogation in the verses, cancellation. Ayatullah Khuy has said, fine, if there is abrogation in the verses, let us study what kind of abrogation is there in the verses. Right? And he says there are three possible ways And before I go ahead, I brought these photocopies. They were not 8 pages, they were 80 pages. Right? Now, I photocopied 20 copies. And mashallah, every day, the numbers keep on increasing. So, I have no choice but to distribute these 20 amongst yourselves. Right? And whoever needs a copy can take from one of your colleagues and copy them, please. Right? So, please, just... I see there are a group of brothers, many groups of brothers who can keep one between themselves, yeah? This is the English translation of Tafsir al-Bayan, which is Ayatollah Khoi's book. This translation, fortunately or unfortunately, was done by a friend of ours. Rendering is excellent, although I don't know about the translation because I have not read the English version. I have not compared it with the original Arabic version. Now, Tafsir al-Manar, or rather not Tafsir al-Manar, Ayatollah Khoi when replying to Nasikh or Mansukh, Al-Nasikh or Mansukh. Al-Nasikh is the verse, abrogating verse. Al-Mansukh is the abrogated verse. It's good to familiarize with the Arabic verses. Al-Nasikh is the abrogating verse, the verse that cancels the one before it, right? And Al-Mansukh is the one that has been abrogated, cancelled. Ayatollah Khoi, in this particular chapter in the book, when he talks about abrogation, is referring to one particular book, which is An-Nasikh wal-Mansukh, it's a Sunni author in Egypt. Forget the author's name. An-Nasikh wal-Mansukh lin-Nahas. Lin-Nahas. An-Nasikh wal-Mansukh lin-Nahas. An-Nahas, Sunni alim jimoto. He has written a book in which he has studied 137 verses, where the Sunnis claim that these verses have been replaced by these verses, and they give pairs of verses, or more than a pair, by saying this particular verse has been replaced by this and this. Right? Now, in light of all these 137 verses, what Ayatollah Khoi has done, he said, let us understand the concept of abrogation. When does cancellation take place? Particularly in light of the Quran. First of all, something cannot be removed from the Quran unanimously, by consensus of all Muslims. Only time something can be changed from the Quran is when, number one, the Quran itself abrogates it. So there is enough evidence that the Quran itself says this verse is now useless and this verse is now in order. Right? So that is first evidence. Secondly, if there is Sunnatul Qadir, Prophet's hadith that says clearly, or the hadith of A'imma alayhi salam for us Imamiyya, for the Shia, that Imam's hadith that says that this verse was replaced by this verse, and therefore then we would take that as Sharia from them, meaning that this verse truly has been abrogated and replaced. Anything beyond that is not acceptable. Especially, and Ayatollah Khoi draws our attention to one particular fact, is that especially Ahad. What is Ahad? Ahad are solitary reports. Reports from one person. For example, when he discusses the verse of Mut'a, you know, the verse of Mut'a, according to Sahih Muslim and Musnad Ahmad, you will find that the Sunnis at certain times say that the Holy Prophet himself said, right? The Holy Prophet himself said that this verse has been abrogated by this verse. Now the verse of Mut'a, مَسْتَمْتَمْتَ أَمِنَ النِّسَىٰ, right? That verse has been abrogated by the verse on Nikah, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ, right? Now, this verse replaces that verse and therefore Mut'a has been cancelled. That particular hadith, narrated on the authority of the Holy Prophet, has been reported many times. You'll find it in Sahih Muslim, you'll find it in Musnad Abi Ahmad, you'll find it in Sahih Bukhari, all these Sunni references. But all these stories come from one person by the name of Sambar. And this Sambar, He says he heard the Holy Prophet say this in Hajjatul Wida. That is the last favorite pilgrimage. Now, the question is that if all these, the chain of narrators, end up at one person before it goes to the Prophet, especially when he says that he was present during Hajjatul Wida and he heard the Holy Prophet say this, then the question asked is that during Hajjatul Wida, how many people were there? 100,000? 200,000? Why is there no report from any other person but this person? And therefore that is in technical terms called ahad, solitary reports. You may have a chain of narrators, you may have so many books of ahadith reporting that, but at the end, from the Holy Prophet, it is reported by only one person at a time when there were hundreds of thousand people present. Such reports are not taken at all, at all. Right? And so he says, Ayatollah Khoi points our attention and draws our attention to this particular fact, that all these, most of these reports, that these verses have been abrogated, are done so on the authority of such solitary reports, which we cannot accept. The Sunnis will accept, but we cannot accept. That is number one. Number two, he says there are three kinds of nasr, three kinds of abrogations. One, that the abrogation of recitation without the cancellation of the rule. That means the verse has been removed, omitted from the final version of the Holy Quran, but the rule stands. And he gives a classical example of the rajm. Rajm, you know what rajm is? Anybody knows what rajm is? Yeah? Somebody said that. Stoning. Stoning a person to death. When a person... when four witnesses say that this person did commit adultery and he was a married person, then that person has to be stoned to death. That the Sunnis maintain that it was part of the Quran first and the verse was then removed, so the final version did not contain that verse. Right? So what they say is that tilawa, naskhut tilawa dun al-hukm. The tilawa, the recitation has been removed, has been abrogated, has been cancelled. But the rule stands. Whereas we say, the Imamiyya say that no. It is not there in the Quran, fine. But it is there in the hadith of the Holy Prophet and the Aimma alayhi salam. And to us, that is a source of Sharia as much as the Holy Quran. Right? Second thing.
So they actually believe the Quran was modified.
Oh, Sunnis, yes.
And they blame us for it.
No, they don't believe that. They believe that the Prophet removed, which is the same thing. It's been modified. We, on the other hand, say it's not been, it's untouched.
The difference lies there. Whatever they say, even in the other part, Aisha says that this verse was there, then the Prophet removed it.
The Prophet, if he removed it,
to them, like that is authority. Yeah. To us also, that is authority. Yeah. But we don't believe that.
They say tempering means after the Prophet passed away, actually there wasn't consensus.
However, this particular verse of Rajm has been tackled in the issue of Tahrif, distortion. Right? Where when he talks of distortion, he talks of Rajm, the verse of Rajm, and the verse of the one that Aisha, in Riwayat al-Ashira, Aisha talks of a certain verse that was removed. And she said, I clearly remember that in Surah Al-Ma'idah, right, this verse was there, we used to recite it with the Prophet, now it is no longer there. In both cases, the first kind is Naskh al-Tilawa dun al-Hukm, and in the second kind, it is Naskh al-Tilawa wal-Hukm. Right? Where these Sunnis claim that there has been cancellation and abrogation of verse and rule together. And the report on the authority of Aisha. Ayatollah Khoi says that both these things we have discussed in the chapter of distortion. Again, this chapter of distortion is another chapter, Tahrif, right? Where Ayatollah Khoi discusses at length that there is no distortion in the Holy Quran and what our belief is regarding that. Now, the third kind of difference, the third kind of abrogation, and that is where the differences arise, and that is where the discussion starts, is that نسخ الحكم دون التلاوة. That is there a cancellation of a rule without lifting or cancelling the verse itself? And if so, what is the verse there for? Right? Is that verse redundant? In other words, is it useless? If the verse is in the Holy Quran and it has been replaced by another verse, and then does it question the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does it question the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And is it true that this one verse abrogates the other? Abrogation, does it take place in the Holy Quran or not? Forget the two kinds, where the rule lives and the verse is lifted, the cancelled, and the rule and the verse is cancelled. Those two kinds, we Shiites are of unanimously, all Shia scholars are of the belief that it does not exist. But this particular one, and this particular approach, this particular understanding of abrogation from verses of the Holy Quran needs a logical understanding. And Ayatullah Khuy starts with the verse, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِ الْأَقْفَالُ. He starts with that verse. And he says, okay, do they not ponder over the Quran? Why can't they understand such simple things? That these verses are not abrogating, are not abrogated, but abrogation has taken place in the Quran. He maintains that. Ayatullah Khuy says that abrogation has taken place in the Holy Quran. Number one, not as many times as the Sunnis claim, 137 times, no. Ayatullah Khuy probably points out one, only one such verse. And that one with a hidden wisdom behind the abrogation. The rest he is out to prove that there is no abrogation in what people think there is abrogation. Out of the 137, he has discussed 37 of them. Right? 37 verses, he has discussed them, and he has discussed how these have been replaced with what, as people say, and how he refutes it. Now, let's look at number one. Number one is the most interesting one. We are looking at these two verses, verse 2109 and verse 929. You can open the Quran to these two verses, verse 2109 and verse 929. Right. Let's look at verse 2109. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ فَاعْفُوا وَاصْفَحُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Right? These people of the book will try to make you, they would like to turn you into kuffar, people who reject after having believed. Why? Out of spite and jealousy. Right? Out of jealousy. مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَمَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. After they know the truth. فَعْفُوا وَاصْفَحُوا. So pardon them and be nice to them. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Until Allah comes with His command, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Verily, Allah is powerful over everything. Right. This verse was supposedly replaced with the following verse in 9:29, which is Surah Tawbah. There is no Bismillah. Remember that, yeah? قَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقِّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ حَتَّى يُعْطُوا الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدِهِمْ صَادِرُونَ. Now, this verse is known as Ayatul Saif, the verse of sword. قَاتِلُ. قَاتِلُ means kill them, fight them. قَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. In the first verse, it was saying, be kind to them, pardon them, forgive them, be nice with them. In this verse, it says, fight them. Kill them. Right? So, does one replace the other?
On this simple level, yes. If you look at it at the literal level.
Sorry?
If you look at the word literally, then yes, they contradict each other, don't they?
They don't contradict, they just supersede them. If you look at the chronological order, 929 comes after 2109, yeah?
So you would say, okay, forgive
the overlook, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the next place where you fight them if they don't believe in God. So it's a contradiction.
It's a contradiction in the Quran.
Why? On this little level, only if I'm going to be wrong somewhere. I put my clothes in the middle.
Maybe, what about context?
Context. Now that's the most important thing. He is missing out on. He is reading the two verses isolated. And obviously if you read the two verses separately, you would think these are contradicting each other. Right? And that's 99.9% the kind of mistakes that we make. Before we ask questions, we do not have an in-depth knowledge of the whole Quran. So what happens is that we read a certain part, we read another part and we say, aha, but Allah in this particular part says this. It is these conflicting verses, or rather should I say supposedly conflicting verses, that are leading to the confusion. That only confirms one thing, that we need people of knowledge to guide us in the Quran. It is not for me and you to sit and understand the Quran. Because of these things, such things, right?
Which Allah told us in 3:26.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? Now, what is there in this verse? The first verse seems, please try and understand this, the first verse seems to be a temporary verse, a temporary solution, because it says until. And that is the one that is causing confusion. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ. Until such a time when Allah will come with His command. Is that how it's been translated? The word until is that, hatta. Right? Now hatta is misconstrued, or rather is understood. I shouldn't say misconstrued. I should say it is understood as a time limit. And therefore this verse was taken as something that is temporary. When this verse came, فَقَاتِلُوهُمْ, so said, alright, now Allah has brought His command forward and said, now kill them. When it has got nothing to do with that. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ is not referring to قَاتِلُوهُمْ. The fact that wait until Allah will come with His command is not referring to qatiluhum. Qatiluhum is referring to a different set of circumstances, is when Christians or Jews take up arms against you, then kill them. But otherwise, in living with Christians and Jews, you've got to be kind and nice and live in harmony with them. And I'm not talking of only this part of the world where we are in the minority, no. I'm talking of an Islamic state where majority are Muslims, but if there are Jews and there are Christians who have not taken up arms against you, who have not taken up anything hostile against the Islamic state, then officially, legally, and according to Sharia, we are supposed to live with them in harmony. The verse قَاتِلُوهُمْ is under a different set of circumstances altogether. The whole Surah At-Tawbah is the Surah of Jihad, which says, fight them. When? When they take up arms, when they forget Ahlul Kitab, when the other Wataniyin, as in idol worshippers, idolaters, right? When these people refuse to toe the line, these are the people who you have to kill. Ayatullah Khoi says that it is only this word, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ, that causes the confusion in the minds of people, that now this verse was temporary and because of the word حَتَّى, there must have been a time limit to this. Whereas he believes that حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ could be referring to the Day of Judgment. What do you do with anything in this world? Are you with me? Nice one. Yeah? Right. Any questions before I go on? Now, let's look at another verse to get a clearer idea of what abrogation is and how Ayatullah Khoi refutes all this. Right? The second verse is about Qibla. Was Qibla abrogated or not?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
It was. Right? So that's another verse. That's two. One was the Sadaqah, and this one, the second one, yeah?
Qibla was changed to
Kubla was changed from faith to not just to.
The verse has got a reason for this one, in that verse. There is a reason given so that we may test who is the believer.
قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ Right? Where Allah says to the Holy Prophet that we see, we witness the displeasure on your face when facing Baytul Maqdis. Baytul Maqdis, the Jews were taking pride. كَيَا أَمَارُ شَيْسَنْتَ In the time of Muslims, you are facing that. But you know how many verses of the Qibla have been narrated, revealed in the Holy Quran? Let's read the verses. Verse 2115 and verse 2150. 115, 115 and 150. Right. Verse 2115 says, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ Right? That is a much broader verse, huh? Qibla. Look at verse 2150. وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَةً فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ It starts with فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ Right?
149. 150, both of them mentioned. I can't see why 115 is anything to do with Qibla. It just says Allah is the east and the west. So what?
115,
right? There's nothing to do with Qibla.
It says wherever you turn.
Yeah, which is in your normal daily life. Not necessarily when you're praying.
In this case, this turn. It's Qawallu.
It's the key one.
He's turning to Qibla now.
It's the word that is used even for Qibla. Wallu. Wallu means face. Right? It's a technical word for instructions of Qibla. That is why you see in 150 and 149, the word used is wallu, right? but I'll explain you from hadith and tafsir of Ayatullah Khoi what that lillahi al-mashriq al-maghrib means. If you look at verse 142 from the same surah, سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ This is the first verse of second Sipara. سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا وَلَّاهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ Now, there are two things to remember here. One is that in order to prove that one verse has abrogated the other, in order to prove that, then we must also be able to prove that this verse, the abrogating verse, was revealed after that abrogated verse. The chronology is important. You cannot say that this verse was revealed first, and this verse was revealed second, and the first verse cancels the second one. It can't happen that way. The later verse has to cancel the first one, the former one, right? And 90% of the times, in Tafsir al-Manar and in Nasikh wal-Mansukh lil-Nahas, they have not been able to prove the chronology of the verses. Was this verse revealed after the first verse or not? They can't prove that. If they can't prove that, half the case has been won. Because you can only prove that this verse has abrogated this one, and we're talking of rational, logical arguments now. We're not talking of a hadith, because when the hadith comes in, automatically it bypasses the need for such a chronology. Right? The hadith comes in and says, this has been abrogated. Fine, period. But if not, then if we are to just look at the meanings and say, has this verse cancelled the first verse, the former verse, we would have to need evidence. And number one evidence would be the date of revelation. Did this come after the verse or not? And we all know for a fact, the Quran, the compilation of the Quran is not in a chronological order. We know that for a fact. Surah Al-Ma'idah was the last surah revealed. Surah Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, was the first verse to be revealed. We know that, right? So it is not in a chronological order. We have to find out, or rather scholars have to find out, whether this abrogating verse, was it revealed later? If so, then it boosts their case. If there is no evidence, then there is no case. Right? That thing must be remembered. Secondly, there is what we called as a general and specific. What in Arabic is called Aam and Khas. Right? When you have Aam and you have Khas, you cannot say the Khas is cancelling the Aam. Okay, general rule hoy. I think that will be much clearer in the third example when we come to it, which is about qisas and murder, right? When we come to that, this general and specific will be much clearer. Here, what is there is that Qibla is Kaaba, Masjid al-Haram. And what is Mashriq and Maghrib is provisions. You have sunnat namaz of a musafir is allowed in any direction. Do you know that? Sunnat nafila namaz of a musafir, for a person traveling, he can recite it in any direction. You have sajda from of tilawah, does not necessarily have to face Qibla, right? You have somebody who does not know the Qibla, right, and recites it thinking that this is the Qibla, and afterwards he finds that this is not the Qibla. What provision has been given? لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Right? So this is the general rule. And these verses are referring to that concept. Okay, look, the focus is not on that Kaaba, on that direction. Aaj aapne namaz padhe to do we even imagine ki bas Allah aaj direction mein. That is why this verse is there, to remind us at all times of our belief ki Allah exists at all places. He's not confined to one place. And therefore, whatever happens, Allah owns or Allah is at every place. Like you said. Is that? Right? For wherever you face, Allah is there. But for namaz, He is asking you that face to this direction, the Kaaba. That's all. Are you both serious about it?
This is a pure matter of obedience.
Yeah, there's nothing else. And this particular verse is just there to remind us. Don't think by confining namaz to one direction only, we are confining Allah to one direction. Wherever we face, Allah is always there.
I have a,
when the Qibla was Bayt al-Qaddis, it was difficult for people to follow that. There were a lot of people who were saying to the Prophet, why are you following the Jews? You're not coming to the religion. That is what is being referred to in the next verse.
The
Musulman, it was a day to the test to see who would
obey, the Prophet despite all
odds. Despite being taunted and not liking him. Jews were making capital of that. And telling them that you have to come to us. Our Qibla.
That is verse 2:143, which says why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Qibla first, the Baytul Maqdis. The wisdom behind 2:143.
When the people were told, you know, this religion is new and all that, obviously the Jews were saying that it's not, you know, we have the older religion and everything. So there was a lot of new ideas came, but Qibla ni Matai, so they followed Bayt al-Muqaddas. And the Muslims didn't like that coming from the Prophet. Allah gives the rationale for that.
So was Khane Kaaba new? It's not a Muslim built thing. Nabi Ibrahim knew Kaaba, but he will show it.
But this is Bayt al-Muqaddas was special for the Jews. It was their source. It was, they were the ones who were near the Prophet at that time. The Judaism was the other religion in question at the time, and the Muslims were mainly being taunted by the Jews.
It's like the Saudis do. Mokka ni raj kare, Shiluka ni raj kare.
Maybe.
But it was difficult. It was a source of difficulty for them. Well, I think I've seen hadith. They came to the Prophet and said, do we have to pray for these guys in the house? Or do we have our own place?
Or on that explained why it got changed.
No, I was not saying you get
we didn't fix the qibla which he faced except to distinguish he who follows the messenger from he who turns back. And this was surely hard.
The person that's in a way defending came by the Muqaddas of the Qibla. Or Bayt al-Muqaddas is the same side to the truth. That's defending the original place of Namaz.
What God's trying to say is it didn't matter. What I was doing was just to test his obedience.
It's
explained. Whether you face Bayt al-Muqaddas
or Qibla
or you face Kaaba, right? Allah is everywhere.
But I don't understand then. If it's just a test, he changed from one side to another. If I'm saying that, I can say, where's the infallibility in this? He could just suddenly say, Kaaba ti bijijat in Namaz for a day.
He can.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Why not?
But that, in one point, he is explaining why he did it. See, if I say to you, well, I'm not explaining you, then it doesn't make sense. But if he's explaining you, then there's a reason. Why he did A, then he did B. He said, there's a reason, this is it.
Well, what does it
have to do? If you don't follow, if you don't pray directly to Kaaba, the Pachi Namaz Gai.
Namaz Gai Yoga. That is what Abbas was saying. It's a matter of obedience. That's the whole thing.
No, I understand that part. Maybe I need to understand it. I don't see.
Now, this is a common question being asked. A lot of people say, why do you pray in one direction when God is everywhere? Right? Why do you pray in that? But then. That is not the whole point of praying to Qibla was not because God was there in the first place.
No, but I would understand it if it was Qibla from day one. Not that if it changes. If it changes, to me, I'm not saying God said, fine, I made a mistake and therefore I change. Or God saying, fine, to put it crudely, okay, I see that you agree,
like
now let's change it just in a different direction.
Something right, first of all, to break the fact that they were proud of the place. Wasn't there something like, first of all, it was Bayt al-Muqaddas, because it's great the fact that the Quraysh and everyone were proud in the wrong sense of the Kaaba. Then, after they broke that, and so
no, the proud of...
No, Muhammad Iqbal is trying to tell you that Quraysh local were idol worshippers at that time, remember, right? Had Kaaba been chosen, I mean, this is just an analysis. Had Kaaba been chosen as a point of Qibla for all Muslims, they would probably have taken pride in the fact that jo tame amara je Kaaba ni andar ame bhoot rakhi chhe ene face karina ro karo. Now that is just his thinking, right?
Okay.
What I'm saying is a change in rule does not necessarily reflect lack of sight, lack of vision, or lack of knowledge.
No, when you expect the initial word also to be the final word. That is the whole point of obedience
that
without question in the first place.
That has
not
never
always,
been
because
from the time Adam is coming. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam jari aya, right? He could have brought the same message that the Holy Prophet brought. Shaken.
Okay.
Right? Now, he didn't. This reflects back on the weakness of who? Our weakness. Human beings at that time were not capable to have understood the message as brought by the Lord.
Okay, so he preached according to the people of his time. Right? Okay, fine.
When people became more sophisticated in their thinking, the message became more comprehensive.
That's fair enough. When to make it more specific to the whole changing of Qibla, it wasn't to do with the adapting to the people of the time
First of all, you see, they were proud of it in the wrong sense, you know, like they were idol worshippers, it's our place. So, test the Muslims, go and follow them, see if you obey. Okay? Then, when they, after they obeyed, then okay, now you can come. Now the idols are out. Now you come back. It was different in their mind. It was like, you know, it wasn't the same sort of place as it was before. Before it was like a pride of the idol worship. That this is our sort of place. So Allah says to them, you go there and over there. And once that has been, you know, it's broken, maybe whatever was attachment in the wrong place, then they can come back.
As a matter of history, Qibla was changed after all the idols were chucked out.
No.
The Qibla was changed about 15 years after the message was brought.
And idols were chucked out about 10 years after.
No, okay, idols were chucked out the
fall of Mecca,
which is about 8 years.
But Qibla was changed.
Qibla was changed 10 years before the idols were thrown out.
Before? The idol was thrown about 10 years after the message was revealed, right?
No. Eight years after Hijra.
Qibla was changed.
Which is 10 years after the
message. No, look, Musa, they moved to Medina 13 years after the message was revealed, right?
And then Qibla was changed.
Qibla was changed a few years after that, because that is when the mosque, they were praying in that mosque in Medina, remember? The Qibla Tain Mosque? Mm. And then a couple of years after that, the fall of Makkah.
Okay. So that point can't be valid.
The last bit can't be, perhaps.
Because there were still idols there.
But the point, the whole point is that it's all, Allah had a reason.
Well, in 143 he explains the reason.
But
I'm saying is maybe we as human beings haven't quite comprehended it, and without being good, maybe we try to find reasons because that's how others should believe.
Number 2, 143, Joe.
Hey, David, 140 is not worshiping.
Ah, well.
The argument he was facing there. That means, go there until either you
get it. How about the Baytul Sujah?
Ma'mur.
No, but also the interesting thing is, in the beginning they were praying to the Kaaba. Yeah, second, like there was only Imam Ali alayhi salam and Bibi Khadija and Peygamber Jain and Kaaba Manam Hospital. Now where they were praying, I don't know.
Why is it 2, 143?
Why is it? I always need to have to comprehend it.
Sulakanuj.
And thus have we made you a group of missing stands, that you may be witnesses over mankind, and the Prophet be witness over you. And we did not fix the Qibla towards which thou wert at, but that we might distinguish him who followeth the Prophet from him that turneth back upon his heel. And this was surely a hard thing for any except for those whom God hath guided.
English
a couple of interesting things.
And Allah was not going to make your faith fruitless. Verily Allah is affectionate and merciful to mankind.
وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ I am onto the Nasr al Mansukh. Let's get there slowly. We'll get there, inshallah.
Okay, so you know it says, and we did not fix the Qibla towards which thou wert at.
Thou wert. Wert at, yeah.
Past tense was.
That means what? Which Qibla is
it? Bayt al Muqaddas.
We did not fix it.
Except
that we might distinguish him who follows the Prophet.
That's the wisdom.
Maybe Allah is just a test. There might be no logic. Just want to see who follows who doesn't follow.
Well, that's what he said. Right. That's what he said 15 minutes ago. That was a back.
No, but first you're using that logic to extend it. Are we saying Allah, obviously in his wisdom, can say, but Kale Qibla is not Makkah, but it's another holy site that we will all accept and that's what the whole idea. What I'm saying is, Basaway X-ray changed that you the wisest state for 1400 years.
But it's not, I think there's one more thing we've heard. Allah is always doing this to us. I mean, the other thing we did this about 3 or 4 lessons ago, where Allah tells us that He's put some ayats in the Quran which are puzzling for us. He said, look, I've done it so that I can test you guys. If we would have said, well, make it reasonable, why don't you make everything clear? Say Imam Ali, say all this stuff in here so we don't have to worry about it. But he didn't. He's put puzzling ayats in there and he's told us, look, I've done this. And we're not happy about it.
Okay, but then to use Abbas's point, as people become more and more, as people comprehend the Quran more and more, people will reach different things into the Quran, right?
Yes.
And now the Adam of time, I'm not saying it's more simplistic, but it's a different manner of approaching things. That's fair enough. But in Qibla changing, and then what I'm saying is that this interpretation of Quran, we can say it's infinite, and the generations after us will maybe understand it more than we do. That's a separate general issue. But in a specific issue of people are changing, and God saying it's a test, but it's a one-off change 1400 years ago, which hasn't happened again. So where...
And which will never happen again.
So you're saying which will never happen again.
You see, it can happen, it won't happen. Let's be honest about this. It can happen because the legislator is Allah. He can change anything.
But in that case, you can say, Abraham will then say it doesn't make sense.
There may, That's why it can't happen. Not because people will say it can't happen. You see, Allah could change them. Right? Because the avenue of authority, accessibility, the legislation was open. Right? The Holy Prophet was there, the Quran was still incomplete. But once the Quran was completed with the seal of the verse that says, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Right? That means today we have completed your religion and perfected it for you. Thereafter, there are no changes. That is why the hadith that says, Halalu Muhammadin Halalun Ila Yawm Al-Qiyam. Right? That was the seal of finality. During the course of those people, before Prophet Muhammad, during Prophet's time, before him, Prophet Musa's time, Prophet him, all those people were subjected to different kinds of tests. All for us as a lesson to learn. We can understand from human behavior. This is how human beings behave. And today, if we were with the Prophet, we would have behaved and acted in the same way. So, that's the conclusion we came to when we studied Bani Israel. Right? So, there lies the lesson and wisdom. The reason for narration here, where Allah narrates history of people we have never heard of, never thought of, where Allah narrates the very wisdom behind His decisions, so that we can learn. Number two, we can understand. Now, upon proper reflection, we will come to the same conclusion. Even if we were there, we would have reacted in the same way. We would have behaved in the same way. We would have been no different. Right? So, this is what the Quran is for. Ajay, yeah, rule badla gul. Right? Which was a major rule. The Quran ma ayu, and hamesha waste yaad rahi badhe. Right? Where it is not a major role, but ek marja aam ke ne ek marja aam ke. Thai chai ki na tati? Thai chai. So those changes are secondary compared to these primary changes. Yeah? But when it takes place, there has to be wisdom behind it. There has to be a reason behind it. Right? So it is. Right. Let's go on to the next one. Kaisha? Please. Let's go to the next verse, number 3. Number 3 Nienda, there are two verses. Again, the abrogating and the abrogated. The first verse is always the abrogated verse. The second verse is the abrogating verse, right? First is 2:178. The second is 5:45.
This qisas will come out from story, this is the same root word, no? Only from qasas, yeah?
From qassa. It's not qasas, it is qassa.
Only qasas. Renounce.
Only qasas.
Noun, java.
No, verb she. What is verb she?
Qasas is relations. Qasas, same word.
Qassa. Qassa is story, yeah?
Qasas.
Qassa alayhi. Qassat alayhi. Qisas.
Qisas.
Qisas is...
Revenge.
Huh? No. Qisas is
retaliation.
Retaliation.
But બીજો છે પિસાસ which I thought was
આ મસાઈલમાં આમ છે તો આ મસાઈલમાં પણ આમ હોવું
જોઈએ. Yes. હા એ અલિફ સિન. Right. Now, verse number 2178. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم القصاص في القتل. This is prescribed for you. That is revenge, ke punishment, jeshe, right? Code of penal law, ke whatever you call it. Yeah? Which says, في القتل. Now in murder. الحر بالحر والعبد بالعبد والأنثى بالأنثى. Actually, this is a very important verse. And we seem to have many... When you open this, you're opening a can of worms. Especially in today's world. Okay? When you listen to what is in this world, right, you'll be surprised.
But no mistake, if a free man kills a slave, what happens?
He's free.
He's free. But if a slave kills a free man?
He's killed.
This doesn't say that. What if a male kills a female?
Hang on, that
doesn't say that. But
that doesn't say that. Mustafa, can you confuse it to me? No, but where is the source
okay, from? Okay, let's go step by step. Let's not jump, right? First of all, the general rule. Now, I just said, okay, this will explain the concept of general and specific. Aam and khas, right? Aam yandar, general yandar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you have a code of revenge in murder, right? Al-hurr bil-hurr, that is a free man, when he kills a free man, his life is taken. Wal-abdu bil-abd, and the slave with slaves. And untha bil-untha, that means a woman for a woman. How it? Koi manas bhai ne mai na ke dusra hai. What happens? What happens is that the heirs of the woman can either claim the deer from the man, or if they want the man's life, then they have to pay half the deer of the man.
Deer is blood price.
Yeah. I was also saying the blood price of a man is twice that of a woman.
How do you
so, if for example, a man was two and a woman was one, then either they accept the one and call it a day. So the man's blood is spared, huh? His life is spared. Or they give one and say, now take his life. Kind of worms, huh?
Well, there's a reason.
So Sharia to Hajj,
but there's a rationale behind that.
Yeah, there's a rationale. The same rationale following inheritance from
rationale. Inna lil-dhakari haddu unthayayn.
Yeah.
Right? Inna lil-dhakari haddu unthayayn. Quran yaj. Male is what? Two females. See the difference between Sunni law and Shia law. The difference is in the abrogating verse that comes after that, 545. وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ وَالْأَنْفَ بِالْأَنْفِ وَالْأُذُنَ بِالْأُذُنِ وَالسِّنَّ بِالسِّنِ. Right? So it says that, and we prescribe on them that a life by life. Nafsa bin nafs, brother. Wal ayna bil ayn, eye for an eye. Wal udhun bil udhun, ear for an ear. Wal sinna bil sin, and a tooth for a tooth.
This is metaphoric.
Huh?
This is metaphoric.
Metaphoric? No, no.
What do you? Are you telling me that if somebody hits you and the tooth comes out, you hit him like that?
It's metaphoric. You have the right to hit him back like that.
You are right in saying it is metaphoric in the sense that it establishes the equality. Right? فَمَنْ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْهِ Whoever transgresses over somebody, then you transgress in the same manner. right? Now, the question here is that there it specifies and says al-abd bil-abd wal-untha bil-untha, and here it says al-nafs bil-nafs, a life for a life. Is it cancelling that first rule or not?
No, this is a specific.
Quite, you know.
Vichagara.
Think, and particularly apply this rule of general and specific. Oh, the first verse is a general verse that says the rule in the penal law, penal code, is that only a free man can kill a free man. I mean, if only a free man can be executed for killing a free man, right? Or al-abd bil-abd wal-untha bil-untha, right? Here it says in the nafsa bil-nafs wal-ayna bil-ayn. Now this is getting into specifics, where if there is a slave killing a slave or a slave hitting a slave, then you look at the damage. Has he taken his life? If he's taken his life, then nafsa bil-nafs. That is the specific. There is no abrogation. 90% of the Sunni scholars have said that this is abrogation. This abrogates that verse, but it doesn't abrogate. What it does, it goes into specifics. That if a woman hits a woman, then does she kill her? If she kills her, then her life has to be taken.
Even then there is a choice, isn't it?
Of course, Ama.
Diya toshe,
it is on the heirs to decide. Oh. Can do they want, but they have the right. Ne? They have the right. Yonati ki aje, for example, if I kill someone, ne ola no hakshi, he has the right to choose. The heirs of the victim have the right to choose. Not me that, okay, I have money here, I will give you dear, spare my life. No, it is upon the victim's family to decide whether to accept the dear or to ask for blood. So, it's a
difference.
Yeah, Shariat, my blood money fixed shit. Well, you should. Okay. Yeah. In terms of dollars or pounds.
No, you don't want to say shit. No.
Iran, my Hajis, there is that secular system of imprisonment and all that. Yeah. Hajis.
There is execution according to Islamic Sharia. There is execution according to Islamic Sharia.
But for that execution is for. You see, Pella, the South, the most difficult thing, a murder has to have two witnesses. Right? And rarely will you find a murder with two witnesses. You can find murder based on evidence that, because in a Western system, have come up with forensics. Yeah? So that is why Iran will prove with forensics, pardon, they will not execute, carry out the Islamic law, because they can't.
There was one recently, one kid was in the family's bed.
Unless, a confession or something.
He was only on the rope, yeah? And the family said, okay. Because the whole crowd said, if you're not spared, it's death, yeah? And then they spared
him. So the family have the right. Right? It is not on the murderer, on the perpetrator, who by Sapu and I have.
I'm sure kind of it
was a Diana Barone. Yes. Ajay, Amna Niyat Kurushwama, Saudi Arabia, ours, Hajjman. One of the Arabs who used to rent the tents from Arafat, the tents. Imagine a Hemoka police at the Jagratia, the police name. The police name Marotia, and the Sido prison. એને હજ સીઝન સીઝનમાં નાખ્યા એટલે હજ સીઝન પછી જ એનો કેસ મારો સાઉદી અરબ છે એનો ભાઈ અમે મહિનો જસ્ટ એઝ વી વર અબાઉટ ટુ લીવ કમ બેક ટેક યુ નો સ્ટીલ ઇન પ્રિઝન કેસ વોઝ બીંગ સોર્ટેડ આઉટ હવે જેને માર્યો ને ધ ગાય વોઝ ઇન હોસ્પિટલ સો ધ પોલીસ હેડ સેડ કે ખાલી હજ નો સીઝન નહીં પણ અન્ટિલ હી રિકવર્સ એન્ડ હી સેઝ કે હવે શું કરશે એન્ડ હી પુટ અ પ્રાઇસ સ્ટ્રેટ અપ 60,000 રિયાલ્સ 60,000 Saudi riyals, I'll sign a waiver. Right? 60,000 riyals. For what? For all that, you know, Myron, Eloy, Nikairon, everything you. He put a price to it. However, whether putting the price is the victim's choice, right? Or there is a fixed, you know, prescribed, ke atla hoy, ne atla hatsudi hoy, I have no problem. Yeah, you have a question?
Yeah.
if you're talking about the interesting thing about circumstantial and forensic evidence, if you have a video of a murder, you just happen to catch it on the camera, is that acceptable as a witness? No, it's not. Yeah.
Especially with the modern technology where that too can be distorted. Mm.
You know, you said before there was a price. What was the price at that time?
Weight worth in gold. That was the kind of.
I'm sure there are values. I tell you for why. Because I remember somebody phoning home and asking my father about this. It's a very unfortunately sad. The most common question he used to be asked on the phone.
Islamic laws ma call them as
kake abortion karo so you have to give a kafara in gold.
It depends kitna life
haram. It's still haram, but in addition to the guna there is a kafara as well, so they all
haram but kitna
raiche baby was 3 months 4 months baby,
that,
how much gold?
That's the first question you ask. How old was it?
Right? Very very common question.
3 weeks hoy, 4 weeks hoy, 7 weeks hoy, a different amounts of gold and equivalent value to be given in kafara.
That time when I picked up the phone, they told me I was him. He asked me, by the way, maybe Sati can also tell me about Keras, get look up for him.
What are you asking me? This is so like you call Mullah Sahib. Then what I found out is that
in fact, Netma, ABDGM, somebody had asked the question. And that question is in the Arabic. The father is that. Okay, total or table it. Atla, we can so this is how much. I think it's written in golden coins.
Yeah.
Gold, weight of gold.
Gold does.
Right? Weight of gold at Lohama. And that technology you can calculate according to the market price of gold. But yes, I am more inclined to believe that deer is prescribed rather than features to the victim or victim's heir. Right? But the interesting part here is the concept, please. Let's not sidetrack. The concept of reference and specific. The Quran under this verse of specifying the al-hurru bil-hurru wal-abdu bil-abdu wal-unqa bil-unqa, right? This is a general verse where if a woman kills a woman, then the woman has to be killed, right? In under specific ma, al-nafsa bil-nafs wal-ayna bil-ayn wal-unqa bil-udhun wal-sinna bil-sin. Where then is equality. In the sense that if a woman fights a woman, if she kills the woman, then life by life. If she sort of damages one eye, damage is given to that, and so on.
Sunni scholars, what motivation or incentive do they have not to accept this? Why do they have to insist on saying there is contradiction?
Well,
I mean, there's nothing to do with imams.
It is.
Oh, it is.
Because the imam is to clarify.
Explain this. It is the imams who explained this to us.
See, there are people who thought that this was the way, right? And then they would spread about in their own understanding these were the verses. Because our imams always sort of said no.
And because of that stubbornness.
Because they don't believe in the imams. So they lost out there.
Right. Any other questions?
Sir, one thing. About a slave for a slave. If a slave kills a freeman, then the slave is to be killed, right? So then where's the question of equality between man, between mankind? That all men are equal, right?
All men are equal? A free man is not equal to a slave. A man is not equal to a woman. Not in Islamic law.
Okay, so the slave, for example, is a different penalty. The free man, if he does something in Iran,
I didn't choose to be a slave if I was sold in Iran.
But tamar taklif ho chuse, tamar responsibility ho chuse, tamar gunjaj guna karani ho chuse.
No, but as I say, a rich man is in a responsibility to society is greater than a poor man. Does that mean any punishment shouldn't?
No, it is. Again, Khuda, again, the whole hadith of the Prophet, in some people, Khuda ni mercy shake na thi aapko wealth. Because wealth happens, you know, etla wada bija responsibility da hai jai che, which is accountable. Every time you gain in prestige or power, your responsibility is increased. So a husband has got more responsibility than wife. a free man has got more responsibility than a slave. A rich man more responsibility than a poor man. And on the final balance, you might have decided, okay, hey, I wish I come as a slave.
What about the free man captured and sold as a slave? Again.
So I know it's for anyone because I understand what you say, it's responsibility of the power of you say.
Let's go to verse 2256.
2256.
That is supposedly replaced by 973. 2256. Supposedly replaced by 973. لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي. That is 2256. Right? And 973 is يا أيها النبي جاهد الكفار والمنافقين. 973. 2256 and 973. Many verses. لا إكراه في الدين. There is no compulsion in religion, right? And here it says جاهد الكفار والمنافقين. Fight the unbelievers and idolaters and the hypocrites. So if there is no compulsion in religion, then why fight them?
The conditioner.
You are a Catholic.
No, that's similar to the previous ones we had.
Similar. That is very similar to the previous one we had. Thank you.
Except the life of the deen is
that. The life of the deen obviously refers to those who have not become Muslims first, right?
Only the misunderstanding of this one. Ah, so ya nabi ujahid al kuffar al munafiqin.
Normally people always say, there's no compulsion in religion, meaning a Muslim thing, but we don't have to follow every single thing.
You see, the one reason why I mentioned this verse, you're right, ikrah, compulsion is not after you believe Islam. There it is qisas. Right?
Yeah.
There it is qisas. There is compulsion after you accept Islam. There is no compulsion before you accept Islam. That is one thing. Secondly, the la ikraha fi din is in Arabic. There are two kinds of sentences. One is called jumla insha'iyya and one is called jumla khabariyya. Right? Try and understand the difference between the two. The jumla insha'iyya is that when it starts with la, it is telling you don't. Right? There is no compulsion in religion. And that's how it's been translated. When Ayatollah Khoi says that this is jumla khabariyya, there has never been compulsion in religion. See the difference?
Like you're saying there isn't.
There is no compulsion in religion, not as there is no, let me, it is not jumla insha'iyya, ke la ikra fi din, don't force anyone to accept religion. Well, Allah is reporting, is making a statement here that look, there has never been any compulsion in religion. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ. It's clear. Do you see the difference? Right? Jumla insha'iyya and jumla khabariyya. Jumla insha'iyya is a command telling you that no, don't force anyone to accept religion of Islam because there is no compulsion in religion. Jumla khabariyya is telling you that look, Islam is so clear there is no need for compulsion in religion. Because, nahi, Ayatollah Khoi says this and then he gives evidence. He says the very fact that Allah says, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ. There is no, if the question of compulsion was coming, ke khuda jo order de hote ki don't compel anyone to accept religion, what was the point of saying قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ? So Allah in fact here is just making a statement by saying that there was never any need for compulsion in religion because the truth is very clear from the falsehood. And that I thought was very interesting. Now, we have a question.
They're saying indeed truth has been made manifest from error.
Yeah.
But that's not correct. It should be for the truth has been made manifest. It's like Qad is a
Qad is
follower.
Because, yeah.
This is Inna, it's not Inna.
No, it's not. It's Qad. Because, since. Right? Okay. Surah An-Nisa. Surah number 4, verse 15 and 16. Surah number 4, verse 15 and 16. Can you read the translation only? Translation, Sushi?
And ask you such of those who are guilty of lewdness from among your women, then bring four witnesses against them from among your servants. If they bear witness, in brackets to the fact, confine them to the houses till death takes them away, or God make it some way for them. 16 is, and if a couple among you commit it, in brackets lewdness, chastise them both. Then if they both repent and amend, then turn ye away from them. Verily God is oft returning the mercy.
The Arabic word used for lewdness is fahisha. Fahisha. وَاللَّاتِ يَأْتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ. Right? Fahisha is what has been translated in English as lewdness, yeah? What do you think the verse is talking about? It's talking about
adultery.
Adultery, yeah?
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe.
Because Fahshai wal Munkar is used somewhere else for Namaz. Not Namaz, but Namaz is to be used against it.
Inna salata tanha anil Fahshai wal Munkar.
Here I don't think it meant adultery,
does it? No, the fact that it asks for four witnesses.
Yes, that is what may mean adultery.
Permission. And almost all Sunni scholars made the same mistake. Okay, because of two facts. Ek, the four witnesses mangi chale. Biju. Okay, if you look at verse number 16, it says two people. Right? So obviously, what you're talking of is zina. In actual fact, if it was zina, then why keep them at home? Where do you keep the verse of flogging them? Where do you keep the rule of stoning them? Right? That was the question. And Ayat Lahu explains that these two verses have got nothing to do with zina. These two verses have got nothing to do with zina. Right? These two verses are specific. Verse number 15 for lesbianism and verse number 16 homosexuality. Now it makes sense? Tafsir wala fir jige
namay ke shirk ko
sudha adult region
ye fahisha in general means anything that you do as an excess, anything exceeding the bounds of the
normal. Barabar fahisha does not specify adultery. It is the four witnesses that was misleading.
Namay lage in this context evidently means an act of adultery,
evidently because of four witnesses, isn't it?
Four men testified that they saw their own eyes, the actual carnal.
The question that Ayatollah Khoi asks is, where do you keep the rule of flogging and stoning? Because those are equal Islamic rules. Quran ayat ma she flogging. Mia to chal din wadribu, mia to chal.
Mansukh.
Ayatullah Khoi is saying it is not mansukh, it is referring to this particular act, a general rule Islam. You see, this is why he proves, why don't people think about it? That literally, if you look at Arabic grammar, verse 15 and 16, he is right. there is no mention of woman in verse number 16, and there is no mention of man in verse number 15. It only goes to prove okay, what he is saying is right.
So the punishment for these acts is just...
Walladani. Walladani are two men. Right? But in Arabic, if there is one man and one woman, it would still be a ladan. Right? There lies the confusion. Al-ladani is dual. Either two men or one man and one woman. If there were two women, then it would be a ladan. But one man and one woman would make it a ladani. That is why the confusion reigned. That, oh, is this... this must be referring to adultery, man and woman. But actual fact, if you study it properly, and if you want to tally between that rule of flogging and stoning, and this rule that says, give them time, keep them at home, until they die.
So that's the punishment. If there's no flogging and stoning for that.
Also, more witnesses required.
More witnesses.
Difficult to prove, that's what.
Why? Yad re tame one thing, okay, in homosexuality, you give them an opportunity, and if they accept and seek repentance, then you forgive them, right? So the first thing is boycott. Fa'aduhuma. Fa'aduhuma is boycott them, right? Make their life uncomfortable, difficult. If they repent, they seek forgiveness, fine. But ultimately, for those who are insist on continuing in that manner, the natural punishment is death. Right?
Men want a death.
Woman want a death. Men want a
death. You keep them in the house until the death. You keep them in the house until death.
That is women.
Yeah. From that, so there's...
For men, it says here, you boycott them, you make their life uncomfortable until they repent. And if they repent, Allah is of repenting.
And if they don't repent?
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't say it.
But there's hadith.
If they repent,
you have to
blame them. What if they
don't repent? They're giving them a penalty. Fa'in taba. Taba wa aslaha. Repent and reform.
Was this not applied to the Prophet's time?
Huh?
When he was the prophet.
It was.
Is this full of the time?
For
this?
This kind of act, yeah.
No. There is no punishment.
That's what I'm asking.
The general is
zina. Zina is a bigger sin than this too.
No. The gravity is more than this.
That's what he's asking. The punishment is more serious.
Yeah. That's what he's asking.
Well, I don't know. I mean, how to judge according to the punishment? If you are comparing the punishment, then you're right. Ten.
No.
As well as
punishment. Ten is more serious than the sex code.
No. That's what he said. Right, because of lack of time, I will jump on to the most interesting one.
It's a couple of months. Chastise.
Which is number 35.
What's
Ayatul Najwa. You know what Ayatul Najwa is? Ayatul Najwa, Najwa is that secret talk between a person, a companion, and the Holy Prophet. Right? Ayatul Najwa is referring to the verse that told the companions that if you want to talk secretly and privately to the Holy Prophet, then you must pay sadaqah first. And then the verse was revealed that you find it difficult, and therefore you can now go without doing it, but pray namaz. It's good for you. Right? So people then started flooding at the Prophet's gate. Now, this verse was revealed, this rule of paying sadaqah before talking to the Prophet in private was revealed, and then it was abrogated. This rule was abrogated. The verse remains part of the Holy Quran. Now the question is, if the rule was abrogated, what is the wisdom behind that verse? Right? Why did Allah abrogate it, and so on? And if we look at, study these two verses, we will find interesting lessons to be drawn from these verses. It's 58:12 and 58:13. 58:12 and 58:13.
But this was definite obligation.
Sorry?
This was a definite obligation.
58:12 and 58:13.
Mustafa,
sorry. Before the tape runs out, you were saying that Hui, all of these he gave an answer for except for one. You mentioned.
What I mentioned is that out of all the verses of every he agrees
with only one. With two.
Because Qibla was changed from Baitul Maqdis to Kaaba.
Yes.
Right? So there was an abrogation of Harun. And this one, the Sadaqah, right? But he maintained that this abrogation is not in the same sense, because it is not the same sense as cancellation. Because the wisdom is there in that rule. And that is why the verse is there, to prove many more things. That's just.
To go back to the Qibla, is there an ayat in the Quran that says follow Baitul Muqaddas?
No.
So there was never a cancellation of an actual verse?
No, but there was a change of rule.
But nothing in the Quran that says this is now null and void. Because there's nothing there to say in the Quran in the first place.
But it's implied.
No, but I mean, that's why Allah didn't make part of the Quran. You can see his wisdom.
But this one is definite, huh? This one, this particular one. Because here he says, okay, if you want to, let's look at the verse. Let's look at the verse 58:12, yeah? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha najaytumur rasul faqaddimu bayna yaday najwakum sadaqatan dhalika khayrun lakum wa athhar fa in lam tajidu fa inna Allaha ghafurur rahim. Right? It says, oh, those who have brought faith, if you want to talk to the Holy Prophet privately, then before you do that, give sadaqah. Now, sadaqah is haram on the Prophet. So, that thing is made clear that this was not for the Prophet, it was for the poor and needy. Number two, that this, when this verse was revealed, you've got to understand, there is only one person who can claim he acted according to this verse. Nobody else. Never again. Not at the time of the Holy Prophet, never again will there be anybody who has acted according to this verse. Only one person. Imam Ali bin Abi Talib.
Was it brought and repealed that quickly?
So 8 days.
8 days.
I think.
8 days, ne?
Abdi was Maria.
Abdi was Makoina Sabtaipo.
That is what I find sometimes a bit difficult.
So,
you know, in a community of people, a couple of people can be died, but everyone?
Koina Sabtaipo, Abdi was Ma.
Can you believe that?
Haji Yaudi Hata.
That is why Allah says, "Ashfaqtum." Unka li chena ya hadis koto shu. Ye jema ek manas Sunni manza, Sunni guy writes and he says that three things that Imam Ali al Islam had, no one else had. No one can claim to share that kind of fazila that Imam Ali al Islam had. And these three things, if I was given, this man says, if I was given even part of one of it, right, I would be so proud. Three things. Ek, he was the son-in-law of the Holy Prophet. Nobody can claim to share that. Again, one of the hadiths that proves, Umar ibn Abu Bakr in a jamai hata ke na tha. And as a sara, then a jamai to ke na tha. Right? Paighambar na jamai ekaj, Imam Ali al-Islam. Bujhu, ke khaybar na diwa se jare, abhi hadith se ne, ke mu, la afiyanna rayat ghadan, rajulan, qarrar, غير فرار يحبه الله ورسوله ويحب الله ورسوله. Right? That thing was given to Imam Ali al-Islam. And that is an established hadith both ways, Shia and Sunni is an important. And this particular one.
But this Imam Ali has come to Umar al-Khattab. The hadith is attributed to Umar al-Khattab. He boiled a
shayah. Umar al-Khattab.
Definitely.
There was a similar one where, what was that, the last battle of the Prophet fought, which actually nobody fought, when he left him on the book. That was also a similar one.
And Ibn Umar.
Ibn Umar, but
قول فقد روي عن ابن عمر كان لعلي رضي الله عنه ثلاث لو كانت لي واحدة منه منا كانت أحب إلي من حمر النعم فزوجه فاطمة رضي الله عنها وإعطاؤه